Well, there's no question that Sri Mulyani leaving is seen as a defeat for the whole spirit and direction of reform, because she was a leading voice and has been a leading voice for years now in reforming the structure of the bureaucracy. But even beyond that, because Sri Mulyani is so outspoken and really such a leading voice for these things, she became kind of a lightning rod for the issue. Sri Mulyani was a person who stood up to a lot of corrupt practices. So her departure is not a good thing for the anti-corruption drive.
Sri Mulyani left government in Indonesia after her finance ministry was forced to bail out a medium-sized Jakarta bank in 2008. The inquiry that followed was seen by many as a witch hunt directed by her political enemy Abu Rizal Bakri. The affair came to be known as the Bank Century Scandal.
Well, the Bank Century Scandal, or the Bank Century bailout issue, became a huge political football in the latter part of 2009. And Sri Mulyani herself said that it was Abu Rizal Bakri who was pushing the investigation that she became embroiled in. And she herself said, and I think many of us agree, that it was a political move by Bakri. Now, you ask, who is Bakri? Abu Rizal Bakri is the chairman of the Golkar Party, currently the second largest political party in the country. It was also Suharto's political party during his long years in power. Bakri is also one of the richest men in Indonesia and controls a powerful mining and property conglomerate. He had tangled with Sri Mulyani over tax cases. The perception was that he wanted her out of power. Of course, none of this, or very little of this, ever gets said directly, but it's certainly the way it was perceived is that this was a battle between Sri Mulyani, a technocrat, and Abu Rizal Bakri, a tycoon and a politician.
Sri Mulyani's departure comes after another influential anti-corruption figure was sidelined from the political stage. The head of the country's Corruption Eradication Commission, Antasari Azhar, is being held in prison after being charged with murder.
Well, that was a very messy case, and we still don't know the full details of that with any satisfaction, but it was a gripping yarn, if nothing else. Antasari Azhar, who was the chairman of the Anti-Corruption Commission, quite a powerful and controversial figure with something of his own checkered past, to be quite honest. He was convicted of conspiracy to murder a businessman in what prosecutors alleged was a love triangle involving a golf caddy. Needless to say, this murder case was quite a public spectacle and soap opera. With Antasari out of the way, however, and with this murder case gone, it doesn't appear that it's much that it's a fundamental. The Antasari case is not fundamental to the government's corruption campaign. Although there are dark rumors and mutterings that Antasari was framed by the police, that there was perhaps a hidden hand in there somewhere trying to derail the counter-corruption efforts. The thing to remember if you're looking at corruption in Indonesia is that you've got essentially three agencies involved. You've got the Attorney General's Office, or the AGO, you've got the police, and you've got the Counter-Corruption Commission. So there's a very bitter rivalry between these agencies. And a lot of what happens in the name of counter-corruption is actually politics.